welcome to the Church Instrumental Music and Worship podcast, brought to you by MyStaffArranger.com. I'm Larry Jones, your host. I'm the owner and senior arranger of MyStaffArranger.com. And if you're not familiar with the MyStaffArranger community, we invite you to stop by our homepage, www.MyStaffArranger.com. And there on the site, you will see a place on the homepage that you can sign up for our free monthly e-newsletter. All you have to do is plug in your name and your email address. And once you do that, you will just receive our monthly newsletter for free. And also you're going to receive some other free material, a couple of arrangements, and some other valuable ministry tools. So we invite you to just stop by the homepage, www.mystaffranger.com, and do that for us. Also, on the homepage, you will see a place, a link for my blog. And my blog is located not only on the homepage, but also at www.mystaffarranger.blogspot.com. And I blog about three or four times a week on worship news, articles I've read, links to other blogs of interest, things going on in our business, finale tips and tricks, church music news, just a variety of useful information that I think that you'll find. And you can do the RSS subscription feed, a couple of different ways that you can get my posts on a regular basis. So I just encourage you to stop by and check the blog out. And also this podcast, the official website that I post these to is www.mystaffarranger.podomatic. That's podomatic.com. And you can also subscribe through iTunes. And I've tested this out. And if you just subscribe to it on iTunes, you can search for me. Just type in Larry Jones Podcast, and that should take you right to it. And you can get the weekly update automatically through iTunes. So that's a great way to do that. Anyway, this is the week of September 3rd, Labor Day week. And this week's topic is a continuation of the last two podcasts, Improving the Quality of Your Church Orchestra, Part 3. And in the first part, we talked about praying specifically. In the second part, we talked about improving yourself first before asking others to improve. In this podcast, I continue with part 3, getting organized, laying the groundwork for excellence. And if you look at any organization that is excellent and successful in what it does, you will always find that that organization is very organized in the systems that it has in place. So why should your church orchestra or your church worship ministry really be any different? You have to have organized systems in place for that organization to run smoothly and efficiently. Okay, so here is my list of ways in which we can be organized within our church orchestra, and you can apply it to really any ministry, whether it's orchestra or church music ministry, any ministry in a church. Okay, so here's a list of ways we can be organized within the church orchestra. Number one, music. We need to put systems in place to catalog, store, sort new and old orchestrations. Here at our church, First Baptist Raytown in Raytown, Missouri, we can go through a fairly large pile of music each week. And when we add a large production such as Christmas pageants into the mix, it can be really overwhelming, especially on my administrative assistant. She really has to, each and every week, make sure that she's staying on top of new and old music. Also, if you or a volunteer or your administrative assistant is able, you need to put rehearsal and worship music in order each and every week. I cannot tell you how much time this will save you and your orchestra when you're doing rehearsals. You can focus on the music instead of looking for it. I know I've run a couple of rehearsals in the past where I've had to take time at the beginning of the rehearsal to actually take a whiteboard and write the rehearsal list in order and then tell the orchestra, hey, you know, let's take a few minutes and put this music in order, or I'll do it verbally, and that really takes a long time because then you have people asking you to repeat what the order is, even when you're going through it slowly. So in any case, if you can put your you or a volunteer or administrative assistant, have them put the music in order for rehearsal, it really makes your life easy. Let's go back to my previous point about systems in place to catalog, store, sort new and old orchestrations. What we do here at our church, in order to catalog them, we actually have a computer database program where we assign a catalog number to each new orchestration that comes in, and then we stamp that music with the orchestration number, and we put all the information into the computer database, and then we have a file cabinet where we store the orchestration. So it's really easy to find and locate the music once you've purchased it. You're not sorting through piles, or even, I know some churches that do it alphabetically, which works and is fine for a quick storage system, but you're always having to move files around to create more space within the alphabetical system. Also, sorting old orchestrations, our system that we have in place for our orchestra is we have a tray on top of a folder rack that has all the orchestra folders in it. And what we do is we tell the orchestra after each Sunday morning worship service, we ask them to pull their worship set music out and put it in this tray, and then my administrative assistant goes back through the tray the next day and sorts the old music and then refiles it. So you can see that just having simple systems in place, and you can get your orchestra involved in what the system is, and they can help you tremendously and save you a lot of time. All right, moving on. Point two, you need to have an organized plan of attack for rehearsals. Be sure to have a rehearsal order in place. I mentioned that in point two. I do that in my weekly newsletter, print newsletter. We have a little sidebar on the left-hand side where I'll outline, you know, number one, orchestra warm-ups, number two, you know, whatever song that we need to look at. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you're giving the orchestra a plan of attack for your rehearsal. And make sure you have personally checked over your scores for potential pitfalls and problem areas that you need to rehearse. There's nothing like going into rehearsal blind, and you know, I think your orchestra and your worship teams can tell that you're faking it when you haven't really looked at your music. So even if you're sight reading something, you as the director need to at least, you know, listen to a demo recording, glance through the score, and know, hey, at measure 53, the trumpets are really going to struggle with this, and, you know, what can I do to help them get over that potential problem? All right, moving on. Number three, start rehearsals on time and end on time. There's nothing more annoying to your orchestra members if they can't predict when you are going to actually start and end rehearsals. You need to be consistent, otherwise they will be consistently late or even worse, absent. I think if you are consistently starting rehearsals late and ending late or even ending early, that your orchestra members are gonna walk. They're not gonna show up to your rehearsals. You gotta be consistent. If your rehearsal starts at 6:30 on Wednesday evening, you gotta start at 6:30. Even if you're just taking prayer requests at 6:30, don't have a casual attitude. You get up on that podium and you say, all right, orchestra, it's 6:30, it's time to begin, and let's start with a prayer request, or let's, you know, tune and let's warm up. Whatever happens, you got to start on time. And also, if you tell your orchestra that rehearsals end at 8:30 or 8:15 or whatever that time may be, that you need to consistently end at that time no matter what, even if you're in the middle of a song, you need to just stop. Now, there are times that I have actually in rehearsal told the orchestra, said, hey, we're running a few minutes late. Would you mind if we went 10 minutes over? And since I have credibility built up in ending and starting on time, almost 9 times out of 10, they will say, yeah, Larry, you know, we need to get this we need to get this worked out. We need to get this music learned. And so they're very forgiving if something like that happens. But the reason that they're forgiving is because I have been consistent. So make sure you're consistent in that starting and ending time to your rehearsal. Also, point four, help to organize and have your orchestra nominate an elected orchestra leadership team, such as a president, vice president, section leaders, etc. My orchestra leadership team has been a tremendous help to me each and every year. I've had great presidents and vice presidents and section leaders, and they can really take a burden off of you and help you in decision making on a regular basis. So I encourage you to do that. Point five, appoint section leaders as another layer of leadership in your various sections. Most of the times, this is going to be your first chair players, but you know, I would just encourage you, the orchestra needs in your sections, they need to have that sense of, okay, here's the section leader and I can lean on them if I need help with something. Point six, develop a monthly attendance sheet to track, hopefully ahead of time, when orchestra members are going to be out. You know, and I can't tell you how many times knowing this information has saved me from disaster. You can go to my personal blog and read about the times that this has really saved me from Sunday to Sunday. When I know people are going to be out, I can figure out ways to cover their absences most of the time, even if that means that I have to go out and hire a ringer. So in any case, I would just encourage you to do that. Develop that monthly attendance sheet and then have them fill it out as much in advance as possible, especially on the absences. And last and final point, number seven, with the help of your leadership team that hopefully that you've put in place, develop an orchestra handbook with expectations, policies, and procedures. There have been a number of times where I've gotten caught where I haven't had a clear policy. For example, dress code. Our church has never been a real stickler on the dress code per se. There's been an unstated rule that, you know, men needed to be dressed up, whether it's coat and tie, and, you know, women needed to have Sunday dress on. And I've had some newer orchestra members show up in attire that wasn't the greatest. It was a little bit too casual, but with my personality, it didn't really bother me that much. But I'm telling you, some of my older orchestra members, it really rubbed them the wrong way. And so I had to back up, and in the orchestra handbook, I had to make it a little bit clearer what the expectations were for being an orchestra member and being on the platform. There is, you know, a certain amount of dress requirement that we had to put in place. But in any case, that's just an example. Having an orchestra handbook with expectations, policies, and procedures is a really good idea for when you have a problem, you can go back and say, you know, hey, this is what the handbook says. We expect you to do X, Y, and Z. So I'd encourage you to do that. Well, anyway, these are just some of my idea-generating thoughts on getting organized with your orchestra. And I could go on and on with some different ideas and examples that in my 10 years of ministry that I have been able to develop or even steal ideas from other instrumental directors out there. Anyway, I pray that these suggestions have been helpful to you. And stay tuned for part four next week. Again, if you're not part of our free monthly newsletter, I encourage you to stop by the website, www.mystaffranger.com, sign up for that, and get those free valuable ministry tools and arrangements. And also our blog, mystaffranger.blogspot.com, and then the official podcasting point, mystaffranger.podomatic.com. And also you can find us on iTunes. Thanks for being here today, and we hope you have a great one, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.